Some people who own Subway sandwich franchises are finding themselves in a financial pickle. This month, the chain launched a national promotion offering certain foot-long sandwiches for $4.99 each.
And while it may be a good deal for customers, some franchise owners say they can't afford it. KJZZ's Christina Estes has been sampling and also looking into this and joins us now. Christina, we understand there's an online petition asking Subway to withdraw the deal. How many people have signed it?
Well, I just checked. The petition has been signed by more than 900 people from 39 states. In Arizona, 9 Subway locations are listed. The franchisees say the footlong promotions do not build traffic or increase their sales. Instead, they say deep discounts devalue the product and strain their budgets.
Well, what does Subway say about that?
In a statement to the Washington Post, Subway said the petition does not represent the majority of its franchisees, and they add the promotion is optional. But you know, that optional part can be tricky for franchisees, because if you own a store and people see ads for a certain price, they come in expecting to get it at that price. I've been in that situation. If they find a particular store doesn't offer that deal, then they can get frustrated, leave, and may never come back. Franchising has been growing in Arizona. The International Franchise Association is a trade group that puts out annual reports. It says Arizona has 15,000 franchise locations that support more than 150,000 jobs. I talk with the group spokesman, Matt Haller, about the challenges and economic impact of the industry.
There's 730,000 franchise businesses in America, employing about 7.6 million workers. Also generate a lot of jobs indirectly in the manufacturing industry, in the agricultural industry, in the construction industry.
Your strategic priorities include identifying and managing risks to the franchise model. And right now it sounds like many franchisees are struggling with the corporate push among a lot of brands to offer special deals and value meals. How do you address that?
Well, it's always something that franchisees are aware of. And in many cases, these are actually things that are good for franchisees. You know, you want to be able to create foot traffic in your business, and franchisees know traditionally when these initiatives are being pushed. And a lot of times they're collaboratively developed with the franchisees through franchisee associations and the brands themselves, because franchisees are generally the ones who know, you know, when they need more traffic in their stores, when they need more online inquiries, depending on the nature of the business, when they need more people coming to their hotels, et cetera. So, you know, this is something that is part of the franchise agreements and generally something that franchisors and franchisees work collaboratively to develop.
When you say it's part of the agreement, I've never been a franchise owner, so I don't know, when I sign the deal, am I saying I'll do whatever corporate wants me to do?
You're giving up a certain amount of control. There's no question about it. But it's a little bit more of an iterative process than that. But what you are saying is that while I'm an independent business owner and I manage, you know, particularly the labor and the hiring and firing and wages and things like that, you know, I'm also not somebody that's going to come up with a concept, you know, from, you know, soup to nuts. And it's a bit of a business in a box, so to speak. But that's not to say that, you know, franchisee doesn't have, you know, ultimate control over a lot of aspects of their business. But certainly when a customer frequents a franchise, whether it's a McDonald's or a Marriott or a Subway in your local community, it's going to be the same consumer experience as they're going to get here in Washington, where our association is headquartered. And that's part of the positives of the franchise business model. It's one of the reasons why, you know, people put up a significant amount of capital to become franchisees.
What do you think needs to change with the franchise model?
I think the franchise model is doing well. Franchisees and franchisors continue to grow and expand. Franchisees, more than 90%, tend to renew their contracts in our annual surveys and be satisfied with their franchise agreement. You're always going to have situations where franchisees or franchisors are, you know, disagreeing over things. That's okay. That's healthy in any relationship. Typically, these disagreements will be worked out with good communication, like any relationship, and that's the most important thing that, you know, anybody thinking about becoming a franchisee or starting a franchise concept should have top of mind, is develop the right processes in place to discuss these issues, have a forum for resolving them privately without the need for litigation or legislative intervention.
I've noticed here in Arizona that when we see a big box store close or a large space open in a strip mall, in several cases, we've seen a fitness center move in. And I know your last report online projected that the highest increase, which should have been last year, would be in personal services. I don't know if fitness falls into personal services. What did you end up seeing in the personal services sector last year?
Well, personal services is definitely a growing category. I believe it was the largest category of growth in 2017. That is a wide range of businesses. Fitness would be in that category. It would also be things like lawn care, construction companies for, building new houses and things like that, dog care, pet care. It is a growing sector. It's an area that a lot of companies are thinking about in terms of how do they scale their concepts.
The International Franchise Association, your group, is holding its annual convention in Phoenix next month. What do you think people are going to show up to want to talk about and then leave?
Well, people are excited about coming to Phoenix. Attendance looks very positive a month out or so. People are focused on what's happening in Washington. There's a lot of conversation about, what the administration is doing, a lot of, palace intrigue about different things related to Washington and how those public policies are impacting, large and small businesses. So we'll have a lot of discussion about that. I think a lot of our members come to Phoenix and our conventions looking to network, find new franchise businesses to invest in, find new business partners to work with on the supplier side. Obviously, we're looking for cities, and Phoenix is certainly one of them, where there's a lot of hotels, a lot of great restaurants, and a lot of, extracurricular activities to get involved in.
Okay, Matt, is it a rule that if you attend this convention, you must eat at chains?
It is not a rule. They should absolutely visit the local restaurants. Franchise chains, sometimes people give them a bad rap, but they are owned and operated in the local community. The reality of, franchising is that often when cities are going through a lot of redevelopment, a franchise chain will be the first anchor tenant to open and take a risk in a new community, and that can really help drive a lot of local businesses who are not franchised, to say, well, if such and such a business, if McDonald's is going to open there, well, I want to be near that because that's an area that's ripe for growth and opportunity. So it's not one or the other. We want to support the local community, and supporting the local community means supporting both franchisees and non-franchise businesses.
Matt Haller is Senior Vice President with the International Franchise Association. Matt, thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks so much.